are, right? Okay, good. Again, my wife and I, Paulette, and myself, I'm Reuben, Nance, and several folks have asked me about my son who pastors down in South Tampa. And we're delighted that he is in the area. They were in West Virginia for several years. And we miss them and miss their children, and now they're in the area. And we're delighted to be able to be near them and have opportunity to hear them speak and be around them somewhat. I'd like for you to take your Bible today, if you will. Turn with me to the book of John. And I want to read a passage of Scripture, if I may. I think most of us would know that this is Palm Sunday, the day before we celebrate the Easter Sunday, and on this day, I want to share some things with you that I trust will be a blessing to you from these passages of Scripture. Turn with us to John chapter number 12, and as we're getting together, John chapter number 12, and if you will, we'll stand together as we read the Word of God. John chapter number 12. Beginning in verse number, actually we want to begin verse number 12. It says here, this is the passage that has to do with Palm Sunday. It says, "And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem." Now boy, wouldn't that be wonderful today that every time Jesus came into town that people would respond in a positive manner, amen? Mr. Obama flies around the world and flies to different places, and a big crowd is assembled, and he gets the right people to have the right places and standing exactly where they need to stand for the picture. And people are all excited. And other people have a crowd here or there. But here they had heard that Jesus was coming to town. Jesus was coming to town. Notice it says, on the next day, when much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he," or "blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass set thereon, as it is written, "For fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, that they had done these things unto him. And the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave, raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him." Shall we pray together? Father, I pray that you'll bless us today. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity, this Lord's Day, to be able to assemble ourselves in this place. And Lord, East Sly Avenue Baptist Church has been a landmark of the gospel through the many years and has raised the banner for the Lord Jesus Christ. And my, what a blessing it is today to sit in the congregation and hear the songs of Zion, and see godly young men and young women, and moms and dads, and grandmas and grandpas, who are still holding forth to the faith of the Word of God. And Lord, we want to say today, thank you for that. Thank you for the testimony here in East Tampa, of this place. And Lord, how enduring the gospel has been. And Lord, how it has changed lives, has caused people to turn from their wicked way and to seek the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray today that we might exalt your Son this morning in this place, that we might lift up his name, and that, Father, we might receive that which you have for us today. And Father, help us to be appreciative of all the things that you've blessed us with. And Lord, most of all, eternal life, salvation that came from heaven to earth. And Lord, drew us to Him, and then in turn, gave us that which we needed to serve you. Father, bless each one that's here today. And Lord, I pray for there might be one here this morning who has not yet received the water of life, has not received that bread of life. Lord, that they might see their need today. And in turn, Lord, they might turn to the cross. And Father, they might analyze and seek out your face this very morning. And Lord, walk these aisles and trust Christ as their Savior. Lord, bless, I pray, the Holy Spirit might truly be our guide and director today. And Lord, we pray that we might commend this service into His hands, because we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, as I was looking about the services today and been thinking about this a few days, several days now, and I thought of, you know, this day, this Palm Sunday, and here it is, when Jesus is coming into the city of Jerusalem. And many have heard about it. Not only have they heard about it, but they're there in Jerusalem for a reason. Because this is a feast day. This is a Jewish day of feast. And here they found that Jesus is coming to town. He's coming to the city. And certainly He is a controversial figure. If you read back through the Scriptures, you'll find that over and over and over and over, if you go back to John chapter 3, you'll find this man Nicodemus, and he comes to Jesus. And he seeks Him out by night, and he says, "Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him." And I want to tell you that Nicodemus was among the radicals. These Pharisees hated him. They hated the Son of God. They talked about His death. They talked about how He was turning their world upside down, so to speak. Their thought was, listen, we need to get a hold of this Jesus, and somebody needs to grab Him from behind, and somebody needs to grab Him on either side, and somebody needs to give Him a punch, and somebody needs to take a knife and thrust it through His heart. We need to get rid of this guy. And I'm telling you, folks, that's where this world is today. I noticed recently, and I don't want to go into great details, but the medical centers now are saying that circumcision might be unhealthy. I mean, that's coming across from the great med. You know why it is? It's not anything about health. It's about the fact of the Jewish religion. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was a Jewish man. Amen? They want to get rid of everything that has anything to do with God and our Savior. And they'll do anything, they'll go to any extreme to cause that to happen today. And so I simply say to you today that here Jesus was coming into this place, and the Scripture tells us that He was coming to this place because He truly was the King of Israel. He truly was the Son of God. He truly was the Son of David, as it were. And here He's coming to the city, and they've heard about it. They've anticipated it. And many went out and took the branches off the palm trees and laid them down. And Jesus Himself had been testified and prophesied about that He would come to this city, and He'd ride upon that foal of a young ass. And there, that testimony of who He was and where He was would be given out so men and women everywhere could hear that He was the Son of God. And I'm telling you, when that happens, my friend, Satan gets angry. He doesn't like it at all. And I'm telling you, Satan doesn't like what we're doing here today. He doesn't like anything that's going on here in Tampa Bay. He doesn't like Ms. Iroh, doesn't like it either, amen? I can't believe this guy by the name of Scott is voting along to have it okay that they don't have prayer in the county commission anymore. Satan's out there, folks. Amen? And you know who's standing between Satan and this city? It's this church, East Sly Avenue Baptist Church. We're the seed that God has planted here so that we could carry out the gospel and be a voice and a lighthouse in this community, folks. We need to realize how important our job really is. Brother, we don't need an army. We don't even need a president. We just need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all we need. We need the power of God upon our lives. We need the Holy Spirit taking control of our lives. That's what we need. And we're all right, brother. Amen. It only took Gideon's 300. Amen. It didn't take 50 million. Amen. God is the majority when we're with Him, and He is in total control. He's never lost His grip. But here they were, and they were going into the city. And notice what they said. Notice he says that they lay these palm leaves down and they cried out. And notice what they said in verse 13. Took branches of palm leaves and went before to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, or the King of Israel. Notice they were excited of who he was. But you know that's going to change, isn't it? It's going to change. One day they're for him. That's not everybody, but many of them are for him. They welcome him into the city. Notice, and verse number 16, these things understood not his disciples. Can you imagine how they felt that day? They said, Lord, where's our white horse? Man, you've come to set up your kingdom. Where's your white horse, Lord? He's on a donkey. Where's the white horse? Where's the throne room of David? Where's the government that we're going to take over? How are we going to rule and reign? Remember Peter and John and these other men were asking this later? They said, well, boy, we want to set it at the right hand of the Lord and the kingdom. They had their plans already made out. They might have even made Judas a secretary of the treasury. They probably would have voted for him. And he was a scoundrel, wasn't he? You see, the reality here is what seemed to be that which was true and that which was good and that which was right, my friend, totally was the opposite of what really would happen in these days. You know, if they'd have went in and crowned Jesus King of kings and Lord of lords, we would not have had a Savior. Amen? And you know, we think if everything goes rosy and everything's nice and everything's the way we want it to be, then boy, it must be successful. But I'm telling you, that's not always the truth in the work of God in the sense of what God's plans are. Amen? It causes us to pray when we have needs. Amen? Causes us to get on our face and go without maybe dinner and supper and lunch. And ask God, Lord, I'm going to fast today. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to ask you to help me today. And you see, that's what we need to do. Amen. God's able. He's not blinded. His hand is not weak. He's not forgetful. He's not under any delusion. Listen, God has a plan. God has a direction. Notice what he says here in verse number 17. And the people therefore were with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave. Notice that. You go back just a few chapters to chapter 11 of John, and that's when Lazarus was raised up. I mean, they'd been standing there when Jesus had, Martha and Mary had been crying, and Lazarus was in that tomb, and he was in that place of burial clothes, and Jesus was there with them, and they said, oh, Lord, if you'd only been here. And the scripture says that Jesus delayed for some 4 days. Jesus wasn't in any hurry. He wasn't running down to see if he could solve every solution. You see, God knew, or God knows the beginning from the end. Amen. He knows everything about us. Did you know He knew where you'd be sitting today in your seat? He knew what you'd had for breakfast last week. Friday, my wife don't know this, but Friday, He knew that I was going to go to Sam's and pick up a couple of things, and then I was going to go get me one of those hot dogs. A big old hot dog. And a big old Coke for $1.50. You didn't know that, did you? But the Lord knew that all along, amen? He's not surprised. He's not taken back. Some of you young people that sit here this morning, just a few years, you will maybe be engaged or married. I don't want to rush you. But there's a guy out there that somewhere that God knows who he is even today. And you need to seek his face about a godly man or a godly woman if you're a young man. Listen, don't take this world's trash. Don't take the leftovers. Don't think that, well, I'll never do this. Well, this guy, well, man, he's kind of cute, but I like him. But, you know, he just doesn't go to church every Sunday. He likes to go to the Bucks games. Amen. Don't get hooked on that. Amen. Don't let Satan deceive you. Well, he doesn't go on Wednesday night or Sunday night. I think he'd be okay, though. I'll introduce him to mom or dad. Or I'll introduce her to mom and dad. Listen, young ladies, you need a man that leads you spiritually. You need a man that's far more spiritual than you are. You need to look up to him. You need to look to him to say, wow, where could we really go in serving God if we were together? And you see, that'll happen one of these days. But I'm simply saying we need to ask God about the spiritual values of life. And I tell you, I see too many young people today that are going down the road and they've run into the ditch. Their lives are destroyed. And I'm telling you, you can't believe what it does to the children of that couple who can't get together. Listen, you save that life for God's choicest servant. And you choose to serve the Lord in that capacity. But notice here, Martha and Mary were, and they were standing in front of this tomb back just a couple of verses back, and they were weeping and wailing, and they were asking the Lord. And remember, Jesus said to her, thy brother, in verse 23 of chapter 12 or 11, he says, thy brother shall rise again. My friend, that seemed like an impossibility. That seemed like just light years away. At that moment in her grief, she loved Lazarus, and Lazarus loved her. And the Bible says in verse 35 that Jesus loved Lazarus probably more than his sisters did. But he called upon them to believe and seek his face. And that's what we need to do, Christians. Amen. We need to seek Jesus. He has all the right answers. He has all the right solutions. He has all the right things that can come into your life. I remember, I just share this story. I won't go into great detail, but I share this story. My wife and I had a family, and they had a piece of property over on Columbus Drive. Some of you may know where that is. Not too far away, and it was property, you know, that was commercial, possibly commercial someday. We bought that old house. Gave this gentleman, I don't know, $5,000 or $6,000, whatever it was, or a couple. No, I don't think we paid anything, but he gave us the contract on it, and it took $5,000 or $6,000 to put a new roof and take it from being under condemned back to where it could actually be used. And this person had told us, listen, I know you're a preacher. I know life is hard. He said, if you get behind a payment or two, he said, don't worry about it. Sure enough, we went over and worked ourselves silly, put not new cabinets, built cabinets in there, new floor and carpet and everything. And as fast as we could put things in there, people would move out, and somebody come in and steal the well pump and break the windows out and steal the cabinets and rip up the carpet. And that went on for about 5 years. We were just limping along. I said, you know, someday this will be worth something. That shows how naive I was. I said, this thing will be worth something. We'll sell it to CSX Railroad or somebody down there. You know, somebody will buy it. And we limped along. And sure enough, wasn't too long after that, we met this man, and the same man that had the property before. And he said, you know, he said, we got to have some money. I said, well, you know, we've done everything we can, and we're doing our best, and it's empty right now. And about 3 days later, we get this mail. Piece of paper in the mail, and it was from his attorney. And he says, you've got to cease and desist. And we started out $15,000 loan. We'd gotten it down to about $8,000. It was worth probably about $30,000. But we weren't expertise at this thing. We knew how hard we'd worked and how it almost seemed impossible to ever get ahead with this thing. And so my wife and I prayed about it, and I said, you know, I've got this lawyer friend. I said, I'm just going to have him turn it back. I said, we, you know, this is 20 years ago, $9,000 is a lot of money even back then. We just didn't have any money. Barely making our own house payments over in Brandon. So sure enough, have the attorney write it up, and he didn't charge me anything. He's a friend of ours, and he wrote it up. Said, we will give you this property back, and, you know, we had strong ability to keep it if we really wanted to, but I said, we're going to give it back to you. So we turned it back, and we get a letter from his attorney saying, we appreciate this, everything's good. Thank you, thank you, thank you for not being able to put up, you know, there's some things in there I could go into detail, but we could have kept it. He had a brother that had signed on it, and he wasn't suing us, and so we could have kept it. So this rocked on for about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months. We looked at each other and said, man, boy, we worked so hard those 5 years to keep that house roof on and those windows up and everything. And we just did everything we could to keep it right. And we got a note from one of her family members. Said, your uncle is really sick down in Frostproof, Florida. Said, pray for him. Less than 2 months later, this uncle had died. And then we went to the mailbox one day, and the inside was a check from an attorney for over $25,000. You see, when we gave it over to God, see, we didn't even know this was going to happen. You know what God did? He took that old cheesy property over there with all the robbers and he just gave us some money. You say, boy, you got rich. No, we had to pay our house off. We were scratching, man, just to get done. But I'm simply saying that our God can do that very thing in our lives over and over and over again if we'll just trust Him. Amen. See, we didn't seek that uncle in any sense. We didn't even know he had anything. But God did, amen. And God's in charge. And here Mary and Martha are weeping and crying and they're disturbed and they're concerned. And here is the very Son of God. And look what He says to her. In verse 24 of chapter 11, and Martha saith unto Him, I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And I say, congregation, believest thou this? Amen. Amen. We believe this, brother. This is the right crowd to be in today. Amen. We're at home. Amen. In the Lord, the things of God are important. The words of God are true. And Lord, they have no way of being taken away. These things are true, and this is our Lord and our Savior. And yet, here Lazarus is, and if you look at the very first part of chapter 12, you would hear them saying, then Jesus, six days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised up from the dead. And so before this Palm Sunday, and before all the adversaries were revealed in the sense that they were, here is Jesus, and He's at Bethany, and He's with Lazarus and Mary and Martha and all their friends, and my, they're having a good time. And Jesus says, now it's time to get ready to go into the city, and we're going to reveal that we are the Son of God. We are the King of Israel. And so they get ready. They get ready. And what do these Pharisees say? Look at verse 19. They say, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive how you that this prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. You see, in their eyes, they were losing contact. They were losing the power that they so desired to have. But I'm saying to you, my friend, Jesus had the purpose in his heart. He had the plan already made. He was carrying forth that which his Father had called upon him to do. You can read over in John 17, and we won't go there, but he prayed to his Father, if you remember, and he says, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." And I say to you today that Jesus could easily have gone up and taken the kingdom and been made king, and there would be no one who would have defended or destroyed him. No one would have hurt him in any way. But I simply say to you today that that was not the purpose of God. Jesus came to die. He came to die for this congregation. Right here. Hallelujah. Every one of you that are saved are product of that action that Jesus and the Father took that day when Jesus stepped out of glory and came to this old sin-cursed world, a place where he'd been called out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," for centuries and ages past. But my friend, he stepped out because he knew you would be here today waiting on him, and that you would need him today. And he could meet your need. And he could take care of you. He could take care of your children and take away the doubt of the future and the doubt of the past and the sin that we've all gone through, scars that we have from this old sin-cursed world. But Jesus was able, and he is able today. But go on down just a little bit. We won't go too much farther here, but notice what he says here. In verse 20 and 21 and 22, there were certain, John chapter 12, verse 20, there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip. You know, these men had heard about Jesus too, which were at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired of him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." You see, they were seeking to see the Son of God, weren't they? And did they go to some, palm reader somewhere and said, "Tell us, where is this Jesus?" No. They didn't even go to the Pharisees. There's old Philip. Amen. Born again believer. One that has been trusted Christ. They went to the right source. Philip had Jesus in his heart. And he said, "We would see Jesus." Verse 22, "And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew and Philip telleth Jesus." Oh, I'm saying to you today, this world needs Jesus. Your neighbors need Jesus. Your boss needs Jesus. Your fellow teachers, if you're a teacher, they need Jesus. And I want to say to you, if you're a teacher in any capacity, listen, this world, these schools are in a mess. They really are. I have students in public school and private school. They're in a mess. Had a lady come to our school not long ago, and her daughter had been offered cocaine and one of the high schools there. She says, "What am I going to do?" I said, "You better get her out of there." And she came and joined our staff and our students this year. But listen, this world is in trouble today. And they need the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus, what you say, what did he do next? Well, the very next thing he did is he went to the cross, didn't he? You could just move right on through and you'd find soon that he was at the garden and he was at other places, but eventually he ended up on the cross. And notice what he said. It says in chapter number 19, verse 26, it says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple," we know this was John, "standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And after that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing all things, were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now therefore was a vessel full of vinegar. They filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon the hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You know, I simply say to you today that Jesus had finished the task. But I'm also here to tell you that whenever you do seek Jesus, that there's only one place that you'll find, and that's the cross. If you're going to find Jesus, you're going to have to go to that old rugged cross. And I trust you've been there today or before or sometime in the past. You've come and knelt at that cross where Jesus shed his precious blood and gave his all, and he cried out that voice, it is finished. I trust that you've been there. You may be here today, kind of like we were those years ago, and financially you're in trouble. You don't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. And I know many out in where I live are seeking jobs and can't find them and living hand to mouth, and we try to help them as best we can when we know about it. But I'm simply saying to you today that if you find Jesus, you're going to have to go by the cross. You're going to have to see his brow that carried that thorn crown. You're going to have to see those feet that were pierced, those hands that were nailed to that old rugged cross. I say to you today that's why Jesus came. If you see him there on that cross, you hear those who are saying, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. You see, Jesus kept his word, didn't he? And you know what else he said? Come unto me, all you that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He tells us not to forsake salvation, so great a salvation. We need to have salvation. You need to be born again. You need to be washed in the blood today. And I trust that you have that experience in your life. I hope that's part of your life. I believe so. Most of us here would know that. But there might be one or two that has not yet experienced that experience of salvation, have not trusted him fully as Lord and Savior. But let me encourage you today that today is the day. Now is the hour. This is the accepted time today. I want us to bow our heads for just a moment, every head bowed and every eye closed. And I would ask you today that question, that rhetorical question, are you saved? Has there been a time in your life that you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? There's been a time when you bowed just like this man. These Greeks said, we would see Jesus. And they told Philip. Jesus said, the Word of God says that he told Andrew and then Peter, those about. And they spoke to the Lord. You may be here today and you say, I would like to see Jesus. I would like to have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I wonder today, are you saved? Have you been born again? If you've been washed in the blood today, I wonder if you'd just quietly, silently just raise your hand and say, Preacher, I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know that he's in my heart. Just lift up your hand for just a moment. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I did not see one, but thank you. You may put them down. But you may be here, and maybe you raised your hand, but you're just not sure. We would encourage you at the invitation time to slip out of that pew, walk down these old-fashioned aisles, come down and someone will meet you here, take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. Let's stand together, could we, as we go to the Lord in prayer? Stand together. Our Father, I pray that you'll bless us as we give this verse of invitation. Lord, this is not our invitation, this is your invitation. And fathers, we give this invitation on your behalf. Lord, we ask those that might need to come and to be saved, they might slip out of that pew and come forward and let Christ be their Lord and Savior. And then there might be those here today who have lost loved ones and they'd like to come down and talk to you about it, or maybe another need that they have in their life. Lord, help them to fill these altars according to your personal will. And Lord, help us to do that which is right in your sight this morning. And Father, as we seek your face, we pray that you'll honor your Son. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to give a verse.